Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If this ministry has touched your life in any way, contact us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook or by emailing us at bfwcgeorgetown@gmail.com. Feel free to share your prayer requests or comments. We hope you enjoy today's message. Blessings to you and yours.
Can I share some things with you? I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 16 and verse 7. And when you get there, I want you to say amen. John chapter 16 and verse 7. I can go ahead and tell you right now, are you ready? Nowadays, people wants to push the Holy Spirit to the side because they got programs. Y'all ain't going to help me up in here. Where is the move of God in the church where the Holy Spirit shows up and the notes go flying? Where is the Holy Spirit in the church where the ministers have to crawl on the platform? Oh, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. Because today, people look at the Holy Spirit as less than. They're happy with being just saved. Oh, y'all ain't going to say nothing up in here. See, when you're saved, you're just sitting back going, I know I'm going to heaven. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. But while I'm here, I'm supposed to be endued. I'm supposed to be filled. I'm supposed to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. And tonight, I hope and pray that your minds is open and your hearts is ready. We're going to pray because I don't want this to go over your head. I want it to pierce right into your spirit. Because you know what? We are a tongue-talking, Holy Spirit-believing church where we see the miracles, signs, and wonders of God move. Amen? And it's time to show and time to release the anointing of God. Amen? Can we pray? And then we're going to dive into John. You ready? Father God, tonight, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, comforter, close confidant, my friend, I pray that right now, Holy Spirit, you begin to open the hearts of every person here. Lord, I pray that you open their mind and that this seed falls into fertile soil. I bind up confusion in the name of Jesus. I bind up distractions in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, tonight that this church will be a church of the anointing. This church, these people, will be a people of power. And we thank you, God, tonight for moving in our lives, Lord. We receive the word tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for revealing it to us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Are you in John chapter 16 and verse 7? How many of you have this written in red in your Bible? It's written in red in your Bible, so we know that Jesus spoke this. Come on, look at somebody and say, Jesus said this. Don't make me break out the song, Jesus said it. See, I got to get the church to realize that when Jesus spoke, everything he spoke was for a reason. And Jesus said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. I only do what the Father tells me to do. So tonight, can I share you what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit? Are you ready? John chapter 16, verse 7 says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, everybody say the Comforter, say the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But here he says, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, wait a minute. Can I just help everybody here? See, we get so tied up in salvation that Jesus said, it is expedient that I release the Holy Spirit upon you. Come on, help me up in here. Watch this. It's one thing to know I'm saved and going to heaven. It's another thing when I've got somebody who comforts me. I got somebody who endues me with power. I got somebody that when I speak the name of Jesus, it causes a ripple in hell and demons begin to scatter because he's the dunamis power of God. He is the one that stirs above the waters. He's the one that comes upon. And we make the Holy Spirit less than. When Jesus said, I find it at the utmost importance. I find it that I have to do this now. I find that I got to get out of the way so that I can release this into you because I can only touch you physically here in one place. But the one I'm going to release, The one I'm going to release is that when you're crying in the middle of the night and nobody's around you, he fills your room and he crawls in the bed beside you and he begins to just smother you with his love. He's called the Comforter for a reason. You got one on your bed. And when it's cold outside, what do you want to do? You want to get right up in that comforter. And what does it do? It begins to warm the chill out of your bones. Can I just help you? The Holy Spirit wants to cause your dead, dry, lifeless bones to come to life. And where you're hurting, he wants to bring comfort. He's not less than. Oh, he's in this house. He's here right now. Jesus looked at everybody, to us even today when it was written down, and he said, it is expedient, the utmost importance that I go ahead and lay down my life so that I can go to heaven and I can release power, I can release comfort, I can release peace, I can release joy. See, I don't know about anybody else. I'm ready for a move of God when you're in the middle of service and laughter begins to break bondage of depression. You begin to hear them back in the back giggling and laughing. And before long, they bent over because depression used to have them. But then the Comforter came. You say, Pastor, that's crazy. I've been there. I've experienced it. And if you ain't never been drunk in the Holy Ghost and you ain't been drunk, some people are going to listen to this on the internet. They're going to be like, Pastor, talking about getting drunk. I wake up in the morning and I ain't got no hangover. Can I just help everybody? I ain't got no hang-ups neither. When you spend time with the Comforter, the things that you used to battle, you don't battle. Can I just keep going? Can I just keep going? Are you ready? Watch this. Go to John chapter 14. Can I just move you right along? Is everybody doing okay? See, I was supposed to teach, but I done broke into a preach already. John chapter 14, verse 26. When you get there, I want you to say amen, amen. Here we go. For those of you that just want to know who the Comforter is, let this verse help you. Are you ready? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. And peace I leave with you. Wait a minute. If Jesus had to go to heaven to release the Holy Spirit, then guess who ushers in peace? My peace I'm leaving with you. In other words, the turmoil you're going through, when's the last time you just crawled under the Comforter? Now, let me break this down where you really understand it. Anybody remember as a kid, the lightning storm come up and the lightning's popping and the first thing you did was run under the covers? Do you think those covers were really going to protect you? Or it was just a place where you could just find some solitude and some safety? Can I help you in the middle of your storm? You can run to the Comforter. You can dive right under the Comforter. And you know what? Everything that used to be so loud is muffled out. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me. Everything that used to be so bright and distract you gets actually washed away because under the Comforter, under the comfort is where you find that he just begins to soothe and bring peace and joy back into your life again. Peace I leave with you, my peace I will give unto you, not as the world gives, but I give unto you, and let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, when you're under the Comforter, you don't have a bit of problem with fear. Okay, can I just go here for 1 second? What are you scared of? What are you scared of? Quiet, isn't it? How many times do you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see because something had a hold of you? You begin to go in your life and you begin to find that there's things that in your past comes back to try to haunt you, but you realize that when you run and you hide under the Comforter, he covers you and he pushes back all those things because that's who he is. So wait a minute. If Jesus thought that it was the utmost importance for him to go to die on a cross, for him to shed his blood so that he could release the Holy. Can I just help everybody here? Do you understand that Jesus already knew? He just said that right before that in John. He said, you know I've got to be crucified. You know I've got to be hung up. You know I've got to be beaten. You know that what's going to happen is you're going to run because of fear. But then he turns around and he says, I have to go so that I can release. Can I just throw something in for free right here? What are you holding on to? Because what you're holding on to keeps you from the release. Amen? You ever had somebody give you money? They wouldn't give it to you or put it in your hand until you reached out. Guys, you better be glad I ain't got a $100 bill in my pocket right now, because I'd be reaching out to give it to somebody and then everybody'd be fighting over it. Everybody be trying to dance and jive up in the Holy Spirit all after the green. But where is that hunger in the Spirit? Guys, I don't want to come to church and just sing two songs. I don't want to come to church and just preach 3 points in a poem. You'll never hear that out of your pastor. When I come into the house of God, I come with a rhema word. I've opened up my heart, my mind, my soul. And I said, Lord, purify and take a coal off the altar and burn my tongue so that when my tongue flaps in my mouth, what comes out is the anointing of God and the power of God. And what happens is God does it every... But it's so important that we understand that Jesus said salvation is wonderful. It will get you into heaven, but there's so much more you need here. See, people want to downplay the Holy Spirit, and you wonder why they can't cast out devils no more. You ain't going to help me yet. You wonder why when they come into church, you don't see them, you don't see the devil coming out. You see the devil actually running rampant in the church. Oh, y'all ain't going to say nothing. You wonder why it is. It's because you haven't been under the comforter. You haven't been endued. You haven't been saturated. So what happens is that you took the power. If I could go back to those chains on Sunday. Huh? You could go right back to those chains on Sunday. Lord, when I don't want to take another step is when the Holy Spirit kicks in. See, when I'm weak, He's strong. When I can't pick up my head, He becomes the lifter of my head, and the Lord becomes my shield. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me. See, we got to realize is that today in the church, we're missing the Holy Spirit. We're missing the power of God. We're missing it. So I'm trying to share with you the character of who He is, the importance of who He is. Are you hearing me? The importance of why Jesus said it's so important. When you first gave your life to the Lord, you still cussed. You still talked about that person you had problems with. You still drove down the road and flew the middle finger because you know you did. Is because just because you were saved, you knew you were going to heaven, but you were missing power to help restrain you. Oh, you ain't going to say nothing. See, the Holy Spirit will come in your life, and when you go to say something that you know is going to tear somebody up one side down the other, the Holy Spirit will reach right in and grab your tongue. Oh, y'all ain't going to say nothing. He'll lead you right to the side and say, no, see, this is an area where, yes, they may have a problem, but there's something in you I got to kill first, so I'm just going to go ahead and do that. See, that's the Holy Spirit. Is when you begin to realize Jesus said, look, I can deal with you, Peter. How many of you know there's a lot of Peters? I used to be a Peter. Y'all ain't saying nothing up in here. I used to be the one, I'd jump out there and just do it and then get mad at God because He didn't show up. Y'all, listen, I'm telling you truth. Y'all, are y'all hearing me? See, too many churches today just want to jump out and do something, but they haven't even been under the comforter a while. I'll break it down where you understand it. Anybody ever had one of those days where you said, I wish I could go back to bed and try it over again? I just want to crawl back into my bed and get under the and slide out the other side and pray something is different. Yeah. This is yes. Amen. Now turn with me to the book of Acts. Here's where we start to have some fun. Are you ready? Acts chapter 1. And when you get there, I want you to say amen. Acts chapter 1. Can I give y'all something for free? You notice that right there in John chapter 14, verse 26. See, I ask questions to the Lord. Can I just ask you something? And maybe this is going to blow your mind. It's free. This is just for the thinkers in the house. He said the Holy Spirit would remind you of every word. You ever wondered how the disciples could sit down and write Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, word for word, and every word that Jesus spoke? Because you know what? We can't walk out of this room tonight and three quarters of you won't remember one word I said. I wish it wasn't so, but it's truth. So is it important for me to have the Holy Spirit? You better believe it, because when the enemy comes knocking, and he will come knocking, if you don't have word in you that it's ignited by the Spirit of God, he will take from you what you thought you had. He will steal your joy. He'll steal your finances. He will steal your family. He will steal your job. Y'all ain't saying nothing up in this house. He will take from you because there's no word in you for him to ignite. That was just free. I just had to give that to the thinkers in the house. Sat back and I said, Lord, how did those guys remember the words that you said? How did they remember the details? I can tell you how. When they went back to put the feather little pen to the paper, the parchment, they sat down and the Holy Spirit just went, don't you remember when he said? How many of y'all realize how personal the Holy Spirit is? I know he's not released me from that yet, but listen to Pastor. The Holy Spirit is so personal that if you do less talking, he'll... and a lot more listening. I've had some people come to me in the past couple weeks, and they said, Pastor, when you said that, I started doing what you said, the Word said to do. Now they're coming back to me with paragraphs and pages, and I had one of them driving down the road today. She said, I didn't ask God for nothing. I just sat in my car and kept my mouth shut. And she said, by the time that I got to work this morning, I had a word from God. That's why we got to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Are you in Acts? Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the Holy Ghost. Not many days hence. Now, can I break this down for everybody here? John the Baptist baptized with water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, how many of y'all remember the day you were water baptized? Let me see your hands. How many of you remember today that you were water baptized? You went down into the water, and the pastors beside you, or the ministers beside you, or the loved one beside you laid their hands on you, and they said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the... You can't take him out of the picture. Oh, y'all. You, as much as the church has tried to religiousize, there's my word. I made it up. Y'all gonna kill me. I'm telling you. We'll hook it up. we'll call Webster. We got to take everything and make it prim and proper. We got to take everything and make it fit in our box. And God's bigger than our box. And every time he comes around us, we get mad and we get aggravated because he blows our boxes apart. It's because he said, men, you will be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You will be submerged. You will be immersed in water. I don't know about anybody else, but when I get around somebody who's took the dip in the Holy Ghost, oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. When you've been around somebody who just came out of the water of the Holy Ghost, there ain't nothing about them that you can put your hands on or you can wrap your mind around. It's because they had an encounter with a living God. The Word says that those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And listen, I know you have a hard time with worship. Pastor, why did you say I have a hard time in worship? It's because you can't even get your hands past 9 o'clock. Y'all ain't going to help me. Well, I wasn't raised that way. Well, maybe you need to go to the Word and find out how the way you should be raised. The Word of God says that this. It says that David said, I raise my hands to the Lord. And then he says, I bow myself before the Lord. Before him, I come into his presence and I bow myself. And then there's other times he comes into his presence and he just made a fool of himself. He just had to let everybody know, I don't care what you think. See, you get around somebody who's been immersed in the Holy Spirit, they could really care less what you think. But if you get in church, oh, y'all ain't going to help me because I'm going to go here for just a second. And then you get in church, and then while praise and worship's going, everybody's got their hands up. And then you find yourself going. See, when you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, even if all the music is off key, even if the singers are all the way in another world, even if the musicians are just quit playing, then the sound of heaven will begin to open up, because then you realize that they're not ushering you into the presence of God. You've done been immersed in his presence. So you're carrying the aroma of the Spirit. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me. Oh, y'all trying to pull the preach out of me tonight. See, when you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was just like last Thursday when we began to anoint the feet and wash the feet of the people and we served them and we laid our life down. There was no pastor in the mix. And if you missed it, it's on you. But then the Lord got a hold of me and he said, bring your wife over. And when I put her in the chair, he said, now I'm going to show you, Pastor, to share to the church that this is who I am. I'm the groom, and it's time for me to wash the feet of my bride. Before I could even grab the oil or even begin to grab the water, the Lord spoke to me and said, go in your office and pull out the oil. Pour it in and cause it to be stirred. Get that essential oil and pour it in there. Because you need to understand what I'm about to do to the bride is I'm about to saturate you with the perfume of heaven. I'm getting ready to immerse you into the place that where you go, you know the king is waiting. And before you arrive, he can smell your presence. Oh, guys, come on. See, you got to realize when you've been immersed in the Holy Spirit and you've been close to him, already there's a sacrifice of praise. There's a sweet aroma that comes off of your life. But you haven't been just sprinkled. You got to get dipped. Why would we try to take the Holy Spirit out of the equation? Why would we sit there and say, I'm not into all that kurababa shundoraba keshia. I'm not into all that laying on of hands. I'm not into all that ka kind of stuff, Pastor, that's made for you. And actually, he said to everybody here, it's time for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It didn't just happen to the Jews. He said, I got to get it out to those Gentile people. I got to get them to the place where, guess what? There'll be a nation that praises me and worships me. You want to know the truth? Even Jesus said it. He said, what you reject, others will take and bring to me. Pastor, you preaching. Let me go, because, man, time is going. Verse 6. Watch this. Watch this. Don't miss it. How many of you got your Bibles? When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Watch this. He had just died and rose again. He just spent 40 days with them. And he looks at them and he says, you've been water baptized, but I need you to be baptized, immersed, submerged, dunked, absolutely saturated in the Holy Ghost. And you know what they did? They took it and switched it and said, well, now are you going to come and take your rightful place? How many people in the church today want to distort who the Holy Spirit is? They want to control how the... I'm going to go ahead and tell you, your pastor is going to be a fool for Jesus. There's going to be times, listen, there's going to be times when I look at you and I say, I ain't got a word to say. There's going to be times with you and I look at you and say, you got 2.5 hours. If you got to go eat and come back, go eat and come back. I'm done patty caking. I'm done playing. Is everybody here, Pastor? So if you got your full, God bless you. I'll see you next week. But I've come to the place in my life where I realize I got to stay submerged in him. I got to be immersed in him. I got to be dunked in him. Because you know what? The weight of this world will kill me if I don't. People in their junk will steal my joy. People with their junk will try to take me out. And I've just learned that if I go ahead and get into the Holy Spirit and just wash all of that mess off, then I can make it another day. And then I got to go back in and I got to get back in there and get dunked again. Because you think coming to church on Sunday is enough to make you get through a week or a Tuesday night. No, you have to every day say, God, I need a fresh infilling. Oh, God, I'm just going to lay myself out right before you, Lord. Because I realize that I can't do this. I realize I can't make it. And Lord, I realize that I can't go through this. I need the Holy Spirit. Wow. I just had a deja vu. Y'all say deja vu. I call it a God appointment. I just seen me preaching this word. It was 9 years ago. Look at what he says in verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Can I just stop right here? He wanted to make sure that they didn't get messed up. He looked at them and said, nobody knows the time. I don't even know the time. Only the Father knows the time when I'm coming back. And on my thigh it says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the only one that knows when I come back on a white horse and I come back with flames coming out of my eyes. I come back to restore order. I come back to be who I am. I'm not coming down on a donkey. I'm coming down as the righteous King of God. He says, so why are you worried about it? Can I just help everybody here? Why are you worried about it? What, you worried the Holy Spirit going to get a hold of you and make you look like a fool? He's a gentleman. You ain't going to say, listen, I've walked this a long time. And he's never came to me and just threw me out there. He comes to me and just edges me and leads me and guides me and speaks to me. And there's times when I look at him and say, I can't handle anymore. No, y'all ain't, listen. There's times when the anointing gets so thick, I just have to look at him and say, you got to ease up just a little bit. Because if you don't ease up, I'm going to slay my own self in the spirit right now, because my flesh cannot glory. Only you, Lord, can receive the glory. And you get to the place where it's just like, Lord, you just got to ease off just a little bit. But then if you're like me, you're a hog for the anointing. You go, oh, that was good enough. Bring it back. Bring it back. Teach me how to walk under it. You know what? I'm going to share something with you real fast, and I'll go back to the word. You ready? God moved me and my family, my mom, my dad, and my sister to Vicksburg, Mississippi, packed us up and sent us down there. I didn't know that what I was getting ready to experience was a move of God. I went to a church called Triumph Church. And when I got there, they were already in a move of God. I had just missed the pastor standing up behind the pulpit. And what he said on a Sunday morning, he said, if I can't have a move of God and the Spirit of God free in my house, I'm done. And he kicked the flower pot right down the center aisle of the church. And when he did, the whole church came unglued, because they realized that if it wasn't for the anointing, then you might as well close the door. I experienced a move of God where the music would begin to play and then the power of God would fall and nobody would be on their face. So almost 1,000 people would be on their face before God. There's times whenever only one note could be played on the keyboard at a time. I wasn't called to sing or play like I am now. I was only playing the saxophone then. And I was up there playing the horn. The man of God, the preacher, came up to me, and I mean the anointing's flowing, and I'm playing with everything in me. I'm just allowing the Spirit of God to flow through me. And he walked over to me, and he said, play the horn. And when he did, the power of God hit me so hard I couldn't play. I hit the floor. You know, after the service, he didn't pat me on the back. He chewed me out. He pulled me in his office. I said, you're mad? I said, I just couldn't handle anymore. He said, see, you got your blessing when you were supposed to release the blessing. And he said, you've got to learn to flow in the anointing. You know what that rascal did for the next couple of services? He stood right beside me every time I started playing. And guess what? I went down again. And you know what he did? Pulled me back in the office again. He said, let me show you in the scripture, son. Let me show you. And he began to teach me, and he began to show me, and he began to hang around me. And as he'd hang around me, I began to realize it was time for me to allow that move of God just to flow. And then the horn playing just went to another level, and the power of God would fall. And then you know what began to happen? Was as soon as one day he walked over to me and he said, play the horn, the power of God hit me. And I let it come out of that horn, and I stood there under the power of God, and the place come unglued. And he turned around and walked away from me. And at the end of the service, he looked at me and said, now that is a move of God. That's what it's like to be immersed. That's what it's like to be saturated. Let me keep going, man. Y'all gonna make me keep right on preaching. Verse 8. But you shall receive. You shall receive. Dunamis. Dynamite. Power. No, not a firecracker. Nowadays, these are the wimpy firecrackers we got. You can hold them in your hand and light them, and they don't do nothing to you. Whenever I was growing up, you held an M80 in your hand, you'd lose fingers. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You'd light them and throw them in the water, and the fish would come up. Y'all ain't saying nothing. See, the church has got to the place where we're happy with a firecracker. We forgot what it's like to be dynamite. We forgot what it's like that when we see people and we pray for them, it happens right there. See, even this morning at 6:30, I'm in here with the kids, and somebody comes in at 8 o'clock. You know what they said? They said, just do me a favor. I know you're busy, but can you just pray for my back? Because I've been working hard and I'm in pain. And in the middle of all that, the Spirit of God said, put your hands on his back. And when I put my hands on his back, he come up out of the seat. The Holy Spirit's not bound by what you're going through or how you feel. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through. But I've come to the place where I said, Lord, what I'm here for is to be a vessel. And what I'm going through, I just go through. I don't linger. I don't build a tent. I don't build a house and stay there. I've learned in my life to get out of that mess and come and just be immersed in the Spirit of God. Pastor, how do you keep your joy? I just told you. Pastor, how do you keep your peace? I just told you. Now, you know what? If you're a doer of the word, I'll watch your fruit. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. She got excited because she realized, wait a minute. No, Pastor, you're right. When you got something on the inside of you, you can't shut up. See, you don't know her. Miss Dot walks around some times and she just goes, you don't know me. You don't know me. See, what Miss Dot don't know is I know a lot of people that know her. And they came to me and I didn't know. Listen. Okay? And they came to me and the first thing they asked me is, how's Miss Dot doing? I said, she's doing great, full of the Holy Ghost and power and steady moving. You know what they tell me? I can't believe what God did in her life. And I looked at him. I said, well, I don't know maybe what she did, and I don't care because that's under the blood. I said, but all I'm going to tell you is that right now, even though the enemy likes to beat on her, pick at her, and try to talk her out of it, she still runs devils off every morning she gets up. Miss Dot, put your hand up in here and just wave it. Hi, I'm Miss Dot. But wait a minute. What did Jesus just say? You can't be a witness if we think we're something. He spoke to his disciples and apostles, and he said, you don't go anywhere. Y'all ain't going to help me up in here. I haven't even got to the character of God yet because he stuck me here. And he's trying to get you to realize if the apostles didn't move out of the room until they were baptized, submerged, and filled with the Holy Ghost, what makes us think we should get out the bed and try to drive to work? Deal with people. Y'all ain't going to help me, man. Because you know what? 99% of your problems is either people. Well, let me switch that. 99% of the problem is you. Because people have no power over you except for what you give them. Because he done told you, he said, look, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Guys, you got to help me up in here. Listen to your pastor. Listen to me. I'm telling you, listen, do not go anywhere without getting yourself immersed in the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor, I only got 5 minutes to work. You better get in your car and say, I just need an infilling, Lord. I just need it right now, Lord. I thank you for driving down the road. Just fill the car right now, Lord. I thank you for a fresh anointing. And if you've ever been filled with the Holy Spirit, you let that language begin to roll up out of you. Because can I just go ahead and tell you, you got a river that sits right in here in your spirit. And you know what begins to happen is that we decide when we turn the faucet on or when we turn the, oh, y'all ain't going to help me. The Holy Spirit is here all the time going, I'm ready to pour, 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 I'm ready to pour. How would you feel if you were so full of power you just couldn't wait for somebody to tap in so you could give them some? That's the kind of Holy Spirit we got. The whole time he's just sitting here. Where can I release it? Where can I release it? The Father has given me power to release, and where can I release it? Right now, he's just looking. He's just waiting. Where's it at? Where's it at? Where's it at? Where's that one today that just wants a fresh infilling? Where's that one today that just needs to get up under my comforter right now and just let me minister to them? See, those tears of sadness, he'll turn around to be joy and gladness. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. But if you don't know him, you can't. take him out of the equation. If you reject him, you really reject God, because they're one. One never moves without the other. Even Jesus said this, I don't do anything except for what the Father tells me to do and say. And then he turns around and says, and the Holy Spirit does the same thing. If you take him out of the equation, you have a missing integer and can never solve the problem. Is everybody with your pastor? Real quick, can I give you this? Can you handle it, or you want me to save it? You want it? You're going to have to flow with me quickly. Do you mind if I just give you the scriptures and walk you through who the character of the Holy Spirit is? Can I just give you one characteristic of them? Power. Power. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to blow your mind. I got 30 seconds to blow your mind. Can I give you the word? Go back to the beginning of your Bible. Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, go ahead and take the Holy Spirit out of your life. Yeah, go ahead and take the Holy Spirit out of your church. Go ahead. Go ahead. Can I just help you with Genesis chapter 1 real quick? Pastor, I've heard this before. You have. You realize your Bible wouldn't even be written without them. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Where was the Holy Spirit? You ready? You ready? Over the dead thing. What was he doing? I know you watching me, just hovering, just hovering. Are you ready? Wait a minute. Have you ever noticed that if you take, what do you call those things? You fly them in the air. Drone. You take a drone and you fly it up in the air. All it does is sit there until you tell it where to. Are you watching this? The Holy Spirit is just sitting there hovering above this dead, dark thing. Hovering. Can I just help you? Waiting. Just. Oh, y'all, listen. I'm sorry if I'm illustrated, but just looking. Father, I'm just listening. I'm only going to do what you say do. I'm only going to move the way that you want me to move. Just hovering. Just hovering. How many of you right here are realizing where he's at? Listen, do you realize today he's just hovering? Holy Spirit, where are you at in my life? Just hovering. Watch this. And God said, let there be light, and there was. What is the Holy Spirit? Power. If he's sitting there hovering, do you think that when the Lord said, let there be light, shoo, Father, you said it, shoo, there, pull it out. Let's keep going. Watch this. And God saw the light. Wait a minute. When it happened, everybody said, ooh, that was the big bang. You better believe it. It was the Holy Spirit explosion. People right now, still their mind being blown. Because they went and they said, how can this happen? And they took eternity. You ready? They took the birth of this world. Watch this. And they took it and pulled it back. Do you understand that when they pulled the stars back and the planets back, that they found it to be one point of explosion? One point. And like a nuclear bomb, it, boom. So you're trying to tell me the Holy Spirit's not powerful? Can I keep going? And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters, which were the firmament, from the waters from where above the firmament was. And he made basically the heavens. And God said, verse 9, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. No, wait a minute. How many of you look at your Bible? Look at your Bible. Do you realize your Bible was written a certain way for a reason? How many of you took English? How many of you realize that when you see those two dots, what is it called? English 101. Which means something's going to follow. As soon as it was said, are you ready? Watch this. As soon as it was said, this is going to help some of y'all in here. As soon as it was said, the Lord stepped back and the Spirit of God came in and he took water and went, whoosh. And it happened right then. Are you seeing this? Verse 11, and God said, let earth bring forth grass and herbs and seed and fruit trees and fruit of all of its kind, and whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Boy, that right there could preach all by itself. Can I just help you? You ready? And I'm going to say this and I'm done with this. You ready? You reproduce who you are. Are you bitter? You reproduce bitterness. Are you offended? You reproduce offense. Are you free? Then you reproduce. That was free because some of y'all, we think we've arrived and you're not able to be teachable, but then the Holy Spirit comes in and says, I'll show you something else about me. Pastor, you preaching down on me. I am not preaching down on you at all, because you haven't arrived, and get off your high horse because it's coming. I get a slap down every day. And I ask for it. Y'all looking at me like I'm stupid. I ask for it because I don't want to be the same every day. I am not going to put my head on the pillow and still be dealing with hurt from 20 years ago. I'm not going to be dealing with hurt from 5 months ago. And I'll stay up all night until I get free from it. Oh, y'all. What's it going to cost you? Can I give you these scriptures and y'all can look them up? Numbers 27, verse 18 through 19. You find right here the Lord spoke to Moses and he said, I want you to bring Joshua out because my spirit is upon him. And when you bring him forth, I want you to release power to him to begin to lead. Are you ready? Can I just help everybody here? Can I give you something? The Holy Spirit will take your limit and make you limitless. How many of you look at God and you say, this is all I can handle? No, raise your hand. Don't let. And for those of you that can't raise your hand, it's because you're living in a place where you don't want to face it. You just rather sweep it under the carpet. Guess what? Every time you vacuum it, you go over the lump. So just keep right on vacuuming. It's okay. Watch this. Watch this. Joshua, I'm going to make you the guy who is in Moses' shadow. I'm going to bring you up because when I sent Moses to speak, you were still in my presence. You still wanted more of my spirit. And so I'm going to take what I put in you from just being with me. And I'm going to place it upon you. Oh, guys, listen to me. You go to Judges. In Judges chapter 3, verse 9 through 11, you find it upon another judge right here. I'm not even going to try to say his name. Look it up. The people begin to cry out. And as they cried out, God took this great judge. And he come up in his place and said, my spirit is upon you for deliverance. Can I help you? Are you ready? Maybe why you can't kick the habits, can't kick the depression, can't kick the stuff in your life is because you haven't been immersed. I'm still dealing with depression. I need to get immersed in the power of God. Watch this. Can we keep going? Judges chapter 6. Around verse 34, you find the Spirit of God coming upon Gideon. Thousands to wipe them out. A little over 300 men up on the hill with a lamp. Y'all wonder sometimes, y'all, listen, sometimes you wonder why God tells you to do crazy things. Anybody ever been through some crazy stuff? You want me to do what? Three more minutes and I'll be done because I know y'all ready. Watch this. Watch this. The Spirit of God comes upon Gideon. And as the Spirit of God come upon him, he lifted his horn. And as he began to blow through that, it released the power of God and caused confusion on the enemy. Guys, listen to me. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, it causes a ruckus in hell. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, the enemy begins to go, what was that? Because that wasn't them. Oh, I hear a legion of angels. Oh, my God, I hear right now the sound of heaven begin to be released. Sound like that. There's a fire burning up in here right now. See, I'm just releasing this to you. Are you ready? When the power of God comes upon you, it will cause your enemies to get confused. Because you're out of character. Where before you would blow up and puke on somebody, want to beat them up, have backdoor fellowship. Johnny's about to laughing at me right now. Pastor, you went there. But instead, the power of God comes over you, and you can look that person in the face and smile and go, the Lord bless you and keep you. And when you turn and walk away, the victory is yours, and your joy is yours, and your peace comes back. And you realize the enemy's standing there going, what just happened? I don't know what just happened. I pushed every button that I could try to push, and nothing came out of them anymore. I don't understand. Woo, I just heard this. Listen, you ready? I just heard this. Can I help everybody here? Are you ready? Can I help you real quick? Is the devil having meetings in hell over you? What are we going to do with them? Because that don't work anymore. Come on. They're having staff meetings in hell right now. Well, you know what? Reminding them of the past didn't work. Getting them mad didn't work. Trying to get them drunk didn't work. Alcohol didn't work. Drugs didn't work. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? Oh, Lord, we just said God. Is the devil's in hell beginning to have meetings over you? Well, you know what? We better up the ante, boys. We better bring a couple more. You know what? Legion, you ain't enough this time. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me. Oh, God, I'm about to preach. I'm trying to let y'all go, and I'm about to preach. Oh. It's time for you to make a stir. You can't do it unless you're filled, immersed, dunked, full of power, anointed, set apart, purged. There's the word. Just purge me, Lord. Three more scriptures. Write them down. What you leaning for? You know. Judges chapter 13, verse 24 through 25. You find this man of God named Samson. You can call him what you wanted to. But when the Spirit of God was upon him, he was a force to be reckoned with. Yes, he was. Samson was a judge of Israel with a Nazarite vow. And listen, can I just go here for 30 seconds? Can you guys handle this? Are y'all doing good? Can you handle this? Or are you done? If you're done, I'll release you. He had a Nazarite vow upon his life. No scissor to cut his hair. No wine upon his tongue. Set apart. And the anointing left when the Nazarite vow was broken. Listen to Pastor very carefully. There is people that the anointing and the presence of God and the Holy Spirit comes upon, but their choices cause him to. Listen, the word says this. Jesus said he'd never leave us or forsake us, but the Holy Spirit. It's even in the New Testament. We'll get there. Is this okay for y'all? You also look at Samson in chapter 14, verse 5 and 6. You find that he's out trying to get to the place that God sent him, and a lion comes up against him. Whether you like it or not, the devil is like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. Do you hear him roaring? It says that when the lion began to attack, it said the Spirit of God came upon him. Are you ready for this? No, y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all are not ready for this. Because you read the word, but you don't read the word. And it was quick to say he had no weapon. You know what he had? The presence of God. And as the mouth came open on that lion, he grabbed it by its jaws. Yeah. See, a lot of us, when the lion comes roaring, we just run away. Oh. Samson stood. He wanted the enemy to get close enough so that he wouldn't have to fight that one again. You've done attack too many people. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to rip you in two. And when he grabbed that lion, he literally, from his mouth, from the top of his mouth to the bottom of his mouth, he ripped him into, it's your word, you read it at home. He ripped him asunder. He ripped him so much open that when he came back by, there was actually bees living inside of it. That's not a little rip. I'll give you the last one, I'm done. 1 Samuel, chapter 19, verse 9 and verse 10. We're quick to pull out the faults of Saul. But you know what? When Saul was right, Saul was right. Can I just help you? I want to help everybody in this church. Quit looking at fallen pastors. That went over real good. Quit nitpicking them to death. Quit talking about them. Can I just help you? Shut your mouth. They got to answer to God. They don't need your help. You find Saul right here. You find him. That the Spirit of God come upon Saul as he got close to the prophets, and what came out of his mouth was prophecy. He began to decree and declare. Can I just help you? You cannot cause the enemy to run. You cannot cause anything to come to life unless the one that empowers you to do so. Life and death is in the power of my So can I help everybody real quick? This is free and I'm done. You get up in the morning, you go to say something about yourself, grab your tongue. Hush. Stop it. I'm being very blunt and I'm sorry in one sense, but you're speaking curses over something the Spirit of God's trying to bless. So what you're doing is pushing back against God. Can I just ask everybody here, how many of you before tonight just looked at the Holy Spirit and said, oh, that's just a choice after salvation, I get it or not? Didn't understand it. So if I didn't understand it, I didn't know I needed it. Now, can I go back and just share one thing with you real fast? If Jesus said that it was expedient that he go to the Father, do you understand how important it is that the Holy Spirit should be in your life? You accept salvation, but do you really want what God said is yours? With every head bowed and every eye closed. This was just to open. I can't wait till next Tuesday. You're here tonight, and listen, I'm not going to draw this out because there's no need to. You know you're saved. You know that right now you die and you'd go to heaven. There's no doubt for every person in this room. Yes, I know you might have actually sinned today, but you know in 1 John chapter 1, you know you confess your sins, and you know he's faithful and just to forgive. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that, but I want to ask the church something tonight. Everybody here, are you dunked? Are you filled? Are you submerged? And do you do it every day, or is it just in church? Tonight, I challenge the body of Christ. I challenge you. If you want to grow, if you want to change, this is it. I can't lay my hands on you. I can't pray words over you. The only thing that's going to empower you to control your temper, to kill it, to help you overcome things in life is the presence of God, is the Holy Spirit. And tonight I gave you just one characteristic of who he is. You're not powerless, saints of God. You're powerful. Start binding. Start loosening. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Father God, tonight I just praise you. I praise you. Lord, I love you with all of my heart. Holy Spirit, flow up and down the aisles of this church right now. Hover. As we leave here tonight, riding down the road, asleep in our bed under the comforter, as we wake up in the morning, let us realize that you're just waiting. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that right now you're convicting hearts. I don't have to say anything. Another characteristic of you is you convict the areas in our life that need to be changed. Holy Spirit, I loose you upon every life in here. As the covering of this house, I pray that the anointing of God will so increase in the men and women of this house that, Lord, it will cause the devil to have staff meetings. I pray, Holy Spirit, that instead of the devil running us, we begin to run them. So I pray that right now, Lord, Holy Spirit, you'll begin to move tonight, Lord. We are on the way to Pentecost. And I believe, God, we're getting ready to experience confidence levels in you we have never experienced in our life. We surrender to you right now. And Lord, we give you.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. If you've made a decision to follow Christ, we rejoice with you. Please let us know by contacting us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook. And we invite you to catch our next broadcast right here. See you soon.